Hello, and welcome to Parking Thought, the show where we highlight the good in the world, from the extraordinary to the everyday. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you happen to find us. Curiosity, meet gratitude. My name is Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. In this edition, we're going to be talking about Job, the book of Job, in the Old Testament. It's a unique book, and I've found something in there that is rather worth sharing. You see, in previous editions of this episode of this podcast, we've talked about, and actually our last episode was on, how the communities that we've chosen to be a part of allow us to be interconnected and make life enjoyable. So one of the communities I've chosen is a consequence of how I choose to worship God. Now, as I've mentioned before, when I brought religion into this program, we can disagree, and that's perfectly fine. And you're welcome to skip this episode and go to another one if you like. I think, though, that you might want to stick around, because although I'm going to use a religious text, I'm going to explain something that is inherently universal to all of us. And I think in various ways, you may really appreciate this. Job teaches us something about the nature of families, and it does with numbers. And all you have to do to find it is to multiply by two. So as long as your math skills are capable of understanding multiplying by two, we can dive into this and learn something that's really fun. So my experience is unique in general when it comes to religion, and I think all of ours is. Our differences, we could focus on them, but I don't think it's going to make us really any happier, right? So let's look at the similarities. And one of the similarities among the Abrahamic religious texts is the book of Job. And it's pretty cool. So when I talk about the Abrahamic religions, I'm referring to those religions who claim that one of their prophets was Abraham. So this includes Judaism, right? And this includes Christianity. And this also includes Islam. And I find that a little interesting because Islam is not one of the religions I tend to go through for inspiration and text. But I think that there's some insight here and some similarities that we can really leverage as we look at this. Now we're going to talk about the book of Job, and I'm going to summarize this. Job is 42 chapters in the King James Version of the Bible, and that's the text I'll be reading from here in just a minute. But it's 42 chapters long in the King James Version of the Bible, and the King James Version is very similar to what we have in the Jewish tradition as well. And so those are kind of harmonious. They're really essentially the same text, just different translations, depending on whether you're using the King James or more of a modern translation. And so for our purposes today, we'll use the King James text and have that be where we get our source from. Now, the Quran, though, is inherently different, right? So the Quran is a religious text. And if I've got this wrong, please leave a comment, because my knowledge of Islam and the Quran is not perfect. But from what I understand, the Quran as a religious text was dictated by the Prophet Muhammad to some of his scribes, and was able to be written down, and is the religious and functioning text for those practicing Islam. And one of the things it does in there is it ties back to Abraham. And it does this through several prophets. And one of those prophets that it mentions is Job. Now, Job's story, again, we'll primarily take this from the King James Version of the Bible. Job's story starts off by describing Job as a righteous man who had a very great household. And calling it a very great household is good, but the book goes a little further. And the text goes further as well in the Quran and describes that household differently, right? Or it describes the household in more detail. We get more of that detail out of the King James Version. So let me go ahead and I'm going to read here. And it talks about, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. Now, it's interesting here that we get the numbers associated with this. Remember, I'm going to ask you to multiply by two here in just a few minutes, right? So we get the numbers of his household, 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So he was the greatest man in all of the East. That sounds pretty cool. All right, so we've got these numbers. Now, what happens to Job in his life is he ends up losing everything. The sons and daughters were gathered together for what we would call today a bit of a family reunion, right? Some sort of a holiday or function where they were getting together, and a great whirlwind comes and knocks down the house and kills them all. 7 sons and 3 daughters, all of his posterity were lost. Now, thieves and other things came and took away all of his sheep and his oxen and his camels and his she asses, all gone. And so Job was left with nothing. And then his health was gone. He ended up with a disease that caused boils to grow all over his body. Now, we've probably all had a pimple or an ingrown hair, you know, that caused us a great deal of discomfort. But imagine that covering your body. Now, so Job went from having a family and a great household and being well respected, lost his kids, lost his property, lost his health, his wife left. And even furthering that, Job's friends looked at what was happening to him in his life and did what any good person would at that time. And they said, Job, you must have done something wrong. Why don't you curse God and die? Because he looked like he was that miserable. They thought it was a curse from God that he should go through those trials and those difficulties. The loss of his family, the loss of his sons, the loss of his health, the loss of his property. They felt that there was nothing for Job to live for and that he should simply curse God and die. Now, that doesn't really sound like a positive, encouraging message from friends, but the book of Job teaches us something, and it does it very beautifully. Job doesn't end the way it starts. Well, maybe that's not true. It ends better than the way it starts. And I'm going to skip ahead. 41 chapters of Job going through this internal struggle of rectifying his life with God's will. And it's really beautiful how it comes about until we get to Job chapter 42, verse 10. And I have this one memorized, but I will read it to make sure I'm accurate. And it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So there's two parts in there. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, I love this scripture. I absolutely love this scripture. And I love it because when I would see people having difficult days in the military, when we would be away from home and we'd be in Iraq or Afghanistan, and we would have those times where we're just lonely. We're just having everything felt like it was weighing down on us. Nothing was familiar and life just generally would suck. Right? I would pull out Job and I'd talk about all the things that he went through. And I said, look here, that what turned his life around was when he prayed for his friends, thinking of others. And if we can think of others, our lives can turn around too. And it generally would work. If you take the time to think of others, I will bet you that you will probably think less of yourself, not less of yourself as a person, but less about what you are going through and more about how you can make the world better. We live inherently interconnected lives. We are parts of great networks, and we don't always see the people in those networks every day. There's a young man who I've helped with his resume and a few other things, and he is working through a stage of his life where he's determining how resilient he is against life's challenges. And I am so grateful I get to be one of the cheerleaders in his life. But I don't see him every day. I didn't see him every day when he was living here. Now he's living about 4.5 hours away. And so we do that encouraging, you know, over text messages. That's an easy, visible example of a network that we're a part of. But we're a part of a lot of other networks as well. Being positive and looking to help others can always take us from whatever we're dealing with to being able to be happier. Now I'm going to ask you to do some math. All right, so the second part of Job chapter 42, verse 10, right? The second part of that verse says, also, right? So just casually mentions this. Also, the Lord blessed Job with twice as much as he had before. And so let's listen to what he had before. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 3,000 sheep, right? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm going to go back to it. Oh, and I've lost my spot. There we go again. 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep. So if we were to multiply 7,000 sheep by 2, we'd get 14,000. And we'll find it here in just a second. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. So we should expect 6,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. We should expect 1,000 yoke of oxen. 500 she-asses, right? So we should expect 1,000 she-asses. If truly Job 42:10 is correct and the Lord blesses Job with twice as much as he had before, we should have all those numbers doubled. And thankfully, the book of Job does give us the list of his household. Now watch, we expect to have 14 sons and 6 daughters, right? And then those other numbers for the sheep, camel, and other things, right? So now, the Lord blessed the latter half of Job. I'm in verse 12. Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep. That sounds right. We had 7,000 at the beginning. 6,000 camels. That sounds right. We had 3,000 at the beginning. And 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And we had 500 of each of those at the beginning. So the math is good so far. We've multiplied by 2. Good job, everybody. We're doing it right. Until we get to verse 13, and then something happens, and the math is broken. And the math is broken, right? Because we've listed the rest of his household, but we haven't listed his kids, right? So at the beginning, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. At the end, he should have 14 sons and 6 daughters, right? But in verse 13, we read, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The math is broken. If we were to take 7 and multiply by 2, we should have 14. If we were to take 3 and multiply by 2, we should have 6, right? But here, even though all the other numbers match for all of the rest of his household, we have a mismatch. We have a wonderfully important mismatch where if we were to multiply by 2, we should have a different number here in the scriptures. So we can conclude from this that the Bible is inherently wrong and worth throwing away and not worth reading. Or there's another answer. Or there's another way to find out whether or not this is true. How could this possibly be true? How could it possibly be that the Lord has doubled his household, doubled his number of children, if he only is blessed with 7 more sons and 3 more daughters? Or 7 more sons and 3 daughters. 3 more daughters. How can it be inherently true? And I would pose this question again when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we were dealing with the loss of somebody we cared about. And it wasn't always, you know, that scenario where you lose somebody on the team. In fact, I was very blessed that I didn't lose people on my direct teams. But we would go to memorial services for other teams that did lose somebody. And that was hard. But it was also hard to be where we were at and then have somebody being lost from a family back home. You can take a soldier and have him deployed, and when grandma dies, they don't get to go home to see grandma and say goodbye. They don't get that opportunity, and so they have to learn to grieve while they are away from home. And here, Job has an answer. 7 sons and 3 daughters at the beginning. 7 sons and 3 daughters at the end. The Lord did not need to bless Job with 14 kids at the end, 14 sons and 6 daughters. Because he remained true and faithful to his beliefs, because he worked through that process of reconciling and repenting with God, he wrestled through that process, through his trials, he kept his promises. His original 7 sons and 6 daughters were still his. They just weren't there on the earth anymore. So in order to double his household, all the Lord had to do was bless him with an additional 7 sons. And 7 sons and 3 daughters. He didn't have to bless him with double. He only had to increase what he already had. The family unit, according to the book of Job, and using math, and not very complex math, we only have to multiply by 2. But our family units are designed to live beyond this life. And Job shows us that. Job also shows us something else too. And this is pretty neat. And one of the things it shows here is we actually get the names of his daughters. Now, because of the patriarchal nature of Jewish society, right, and the patriarchal nature of the priesthood in history, we don't often see the names of women in the scriptures. And that's not designed to be rude, right? That is just the nature of the way that our record has been passed down to us. But however, in this book, which is so short about so many other things, we get the names of his daughters. He names one Jemima, he names one Keziah, and he names the last one Karen Happuch. And each of these calls back to that repentance process and that wrestling he did with God in a very, very beautiful way. Jemima, in the ancient language this is translated from, is loosely translated as a dove. This refers back to Noah and the peace that comes from having a soul that is reconciled with God. That peace that is knowing, like the promise after the flood, that everything can be okay and move its way forward. What a beautiful name to name one of your daughters, right, after having gone through these trials. And next is Keziah. Keziah refers to, and I love the way it does this, it refers to a very precious incense, often used in rituals, right, in the tabernacle, you know, if we're talking about Moses' time, and in the Temple of Solomon. Keziah, right, and the idea of incense. Incense was a way of seeing and visualizing the idea of your prayers reaching up and sweetly, you know, smelling and adding fragrance as they reach towards the heavens, towards God. What a beautiful way to talk about the repentance process. Those prayers of wrestling, those prayers of reconciliation, reaching up towards God. And then lastly, and this is my favorite, Karen Happoch. Not necessarily the most beautiful name that we might hear today. Karen Happoch is not exactly common. Karen is, but Happoch is not. And what this refers to anciently is it refers to a horn of beauty, or a horn that when hollowed out would hold cream or other items that would be beautiful. Now, the horn, or ram's horn in general, is very symbolic in the ancient cultures. It represents earthly power. So when you read about horns on animals in the Book of Revelation, those are often symbolic of the earthly power that's there. Animals with horns had power, and they were great, and they were mighty. But when you hollowed out that earthly power, you can have a space for something beautiful. And that is what Karen Happoch means. It's the idea that when you hollow out who you think you are and learn to become who God sees you as, you can become something greater than yourself. Job is so rich. We've only looked at, so far, the first chapter and the last chapter, and only just a few verses. And in those few verses, we can see something that is beautiful, that lets us know how important we are and gives us answers when we are missing a lost one or a friend, or loved one or friend, gives us answers when we have trials and we want a way to make ourselves feel better getting out of it. Think of others. And Job tells us something about how beautiful the repentance or reconciliation process is with God, the peace that comes like a dove, the sweet smell of our prayers, right, reaching up towards the heaven, and the beauty that comes from hollowing out who we think we should be, our earthly power and our earthly ego, to become and give the Lord opportunity to fill us into who He sees us as. Now, today, in preparation for this episode, I actually pulled out the Quran, a rough translation, I'm sure, because I don't speak Arabic. And truly, the Quran is one of those books where a disciplined person in Islam, as I understand it, would only read it in Arabic. So this might be offensive to some of the audience to read this translation that I was able to find online. But listen to this. Regardless of the tradition, it refers to Job's great household and being blessed with twice as much as he had before. And I found this fascinating. So this is from the Quran 38, verses 41 through 43. And it says, "Commemorate our servant Job. Behold, he cried to his Lord, 'The evil one has afflicted me with distress and suffering.' The command was given, 'Strike thy foot. Here is water, wherein to wash cool and refreshing, and water to drink.' And we gave him back his people and doubled their number as a grace from ourselves and a thing for commemoration for all who have understanding." And now I find it interesting here that although the tradition about Job's reconciliation is significantly different, right? The idea of his household being doubled, is still there. Doubled. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 14 sons at the end, 6 daughters at the end, because Job still had his children that were no longer on the earth with him, because he remained true and faithful to his promises to God. And so I hope that you guys, and this is a long episode for this podcast, can remain true and faithful to your beliefs as well. Hold fast to them and be measured against them. And remember that the family that you are a part of, and that very important unit that you're connected to, is designed not for just this life, but for the life after this one. And that is amazing. Worth celebrating, worth recognizing, and worth sharing today with you guys. Thank you for listening. So let's wrap this up. And this is the part where I tell you that the best way to say thank you for this episode is to share it with someone you know. I'll let you decide who that is. Maybe somebody going through a loss and you want to let them know that Job talks about families being together forever. Or it may be somebody you just want to say, hey, listen to this crazy guy who talked for 20 minutes about, I don't know, what did we cover, 6 verses? If you're joining us for the first time, we're glad you could make it. And if you want to stick around for the long haul, then hey, head on over to parkingthought.com where you can find the subscribe link so that this podcast can be delivered directly to your favorite device. You won't have to think about it again, automatically delivered. We're also on the YouTube if you want to join us there and leave a comment, the Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and lbry.tv. Also on Podbean, a few other things. Feel free to find us wherever you are. But remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, well, why not choose to be grateful?